thank you for hanging in with me this evening, early this morning, on Coast to Coast AM. Tonight, we've been discussing the Ouija board, and we've been talking about encounters with the Zozo character, an entity that makes itself known. We've also been talking about strange crimes committed in the name of Ouija. The Ouija board is a fascinating subject to me because, you know, everybody I know seems to have some experience with the Ouija board at one point or another. I remember playing with it as a child. Nothing really ever stuck with me on it. I never really felt like we were communicating, and I was pretty sure my friends were the ones moving the planchette. However, that did change for me once, and it was about the year 1986. I was at a party, and we had played a few of the strange parlor games at that time, including Stiff as a Board, Light as a Feather, which I thought was so 100 times more creepy than the Ouija board. For people that aren't familiar with that, you pick one person in the group who lays down. You have a storyteller who tells about this body that is found in the woods, and everybody has just one finger underneath the person laying on the ground. And as they tell the story, the storyteller begins repeating the term, stiff as a board, light as a feather, stiff as a board, light as a feather. And everybody begins to stand up and lift. And this person begins to almost float in the room with barely one finger underneath them, lifting him into the air. And I thought, wow, this is crazy. This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Having this experience, they broke out the Ouija board afterward. We began trying to make some communication. The girls, you know, I was into it because, you know, I'm a teenage boy. There's girls, they're freaking out, jumping, grabbing my arms. And, you know, I think all of the guys in the group were enjoying it for that. We started getting some really creepy and threatening messages through the Ouija board. Again, I was pretty sure it was just coming through one of the guys in the group, you know, manipulating the planchette so that it would tell these messages so the girls would cuddle up a little closer. Afterwards, I remember the board sitting on the table and our girlfriends collectively cuddled up and we're talking and the guys kind of giving a wink to one another. When staring at the board myself, along with a few of the other players, the planchette began to rock back and forth and then slid across the board and off the table on a perfectly flat and balanced surface. That moment became very real for me, very chilling. I don't know what we experienced at that moment. Was it a buildup of static electricity? Was it the energy in the room of all of these people focused on this board and the fear that was going on? Or was there something otherworldly with us? We're going to open up phone lines now to start taking your calls. If you have questions for our guests, Robert Murch, the official Ouija historian, and Darren Evans, who is a Zozoologist, talking about the Zozo phenomena. If you have any questions for either one of them regarding the Ouija board or your own stories that you'd like to share, we'll start taking those calls next. Stay tuned. More Coast to Coast AM continues right after this. Welcome back to Coast AM. We're in the last hour of the show this evening. We've opened up phone lines so that you can be a part of the show with us. Our guests for the evening, Darren Evans, a Zozoologist. He is somebody who has researched the Zozo Ouija board phenomena and has shared some of the stories and experiences with us this evening. We have links to his website. You can find them over at coasttocoastam.com. Also, official Ouija board historian Bob Murch is with us this evening. And I do want to point out, folks, he is not a self-proclaimed Ouija board historian. He's not just some guy that is, you know, very intrigued by this, but Hasbro calls him with questions. He is truly the official Ouija board historian. I have an interesting question that comes from Jen Hunter. And again, kind of referring, she might have missed the beginning part of the show here. She says, as the top Ouija board researcher, why does he keep pronouncing it wrong? Is there a correct way to say the name of the board? Is it Ouija? Is it Ouija? How do you, what's the inflection on this, Bob?
So originally when it named itself, it was pronounced Ouija. So today people say Ouija. And that comes from by the 1920s when people played the game, they would say they were Ouija-ing. And Ouija just caught. It sounded better. There were sheet music in 1920, Ouija, Ouija, tell me do, Ouija mine. The company saw very quickly that people were pronouncing it differently than they intended. They didn't care. So they took out trademarks on other ways to say it so that they could kind of make sure that it stayed in the family. And it has.
So Ouija might be the formal version, and then Ouija is kind of the familiar version, right? I mean, it's just the way that it's pronounced that way. So there is no wrong pronunciation for this. And you did mention it was kind of a misnomer, a bit of an urban legend that the Ouija board was named Ouija after the French and German words for yes, yes. That was kind of the story that's been perpetuated. But going through the details and the history and actually getting the information from the family of the woman that named the board itself named itself that and said that it stood for good luck.
Absolutely. So when Helen Peters at the helm of the board, they ask the board what it wants to be called, and it spells out O-U-I-J-A. They ask the board what that means, and it answers good luck. And so Helen Peters immediately takes off her necklace. She has a locket on it, and it has a figure of a woman and what the letters say, O-U-I-J-A, on it. And now Charles Kennard, the man who claims to have invented the board that would become Ouija, he kind of understands that there's some psychology here and that maybe that it was her subconscious behind it. So he asks her, he says, okay, were you thinking about this when we were playing? And she says, no. So they adopt the word. Now, what we think is that she was actually wearing a locket that had a famous authoress at the time whose pseudonym was Ouida, O-U-I-D-A. And if that's true, then Ouija is actually a misspelling.
Oh, very interesting. See, there's so many different aspects of the story that just keep coming out. We're talking with two of the experts regarding the Ouija board phenomena. And joining us now, a third expert, Karen Dahlman, who has been a friend of Darkness Radio and Coast to Coast AM, is joining us. And we talked earlier, Karen, about the fact that, you know, so many good things have come, so many amazing messages and positive messages have come through. And I know that you're a proponent of using the Ouija board, and you see that there are very good things that can come from it. But you, too, have had a couple of negative experiences using the Ouija board, haven't you?
That's correct, Dave. Good evening. Good morning, gentlemen. It's very true. I, myself, have had an experience with Zozo, and it happened a while back. Probably it was about 3 years ago. But it was, you know, I have to attribute Zozo to a real energetic field. I don't attribute it to something that's a literal being, but it's an energy field. And I think Darren touched on, we talked about the archetypal, universe archetypal symbols and energies that Carl Jung talked about. So what happened for me was I started using the board. And it was not too long after, a few hours after I had an interaction, a very negative interaction with the psychic. And I was still harboring those feelings and the interaction and thinking about it. I didn't check, you know, my head and my feelings of the day at the door when I started the board, which is super important to do, as these gentlemen know. So I didn't do that. And what came through was Zozo. And I never once ever expected that it would come through. It kept spelling Z-O, 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 and then start talking to me about my interaction with this woman. And I just said, you know what? You need to leave. I'm not going to talk to you. This is, you know, my board, and bye-bye. And it left. But what I learned from that is, for myself and from reading a lot of stuff online and following Darren's work and also talking to Bob about this, is I do believe there's an energy field that builds up. And as we talk and attribute more and more to this energy field, we start to draw it to ourselves. So I believe what we harbor within is what we get without. And that's just not with the board, that's with life. I mean, that is the game of life. When we harbor within, we get without, and you really can't separate yourself from that. Not saying we're negative people if we have that experience. I'm saying sometimes we're human beings, and we have negative experiences that happen. And coming to the board with that, with those intentions or those feelings or those thoughts, we tend to draw upon this energetic field. And when we draw upon it, we end up interacting with it. So that could be negative in itself. It's no different than when we focus upon a positive energy, such as I think I mentioned today before, the Archangel Michael. We can call upon that, and then all of a sudden we start being filled with dreams and thoughts about that and experiences with that, or people talk about it. It's, again, what we harbor, we magnetically draw to us. Do you gentlemen concur with that or see that differently, or could you speak to that a little bit more?
Yeah, I mean, I think that just like you said, in life, kind of what you put out is what you get back. And I think we see that, you know, you go, get going to work and, you know, you go to get dressed and you trip and then you tear your pants and then you spill your coffee on the train and you know, you start to get in a really bad mood and you pass that on to everybody. You know, you, the person who, you know, you knock into, it's just like, hey, what's your problem? And it spreads really quickly. And I think it's the same in this situation. So if you're in a negative mood or you're in a bad space or you're scared or you're just angry, you're likely to get that experience when you're trying to either reach out to your subconscious or reach out to the other side. I think it's just, it happens so often, you know, like it just happens all the time.
Hey, I'd be really curious what Darren thinks about this too.
Well, Karen, let me be the first person to just say that, you know, your psychological background, I've since the beginning, I just have had a feeling that this energy that you described, and when you start talking about Zozo, and I've listened to some of your interviews, I agree with you that it, from the standpoint, when you begin talking about these archetypes and the energy, the negative energy that you may project, I'm a big fan of your whole thought process on this, and it's nice to hear you chime in, Karen. And I don't doubt that Zozo had come to you. It seems to like the lady, so to speak, and you being a very attractive woman. I appreciate your thoughts on this, and I agree with a lot of the aspects of your opinions on the phenomenon.
Thank you very much, Karen Dahlman, for calling in and sharing some insights with us as well. Let's grab a couple of calls here. West of the Rockies, Ron in Colorado. You're on Coast to Coast AM. What did you want to share?
Hi. I want to tell you that I think all of these people that are having problems with Ouija just have problems, period. Because, like, I'm 71, and I never believed a whole lot in the Ouija. I've had some psychic experiences and believe in that nature of things. But after I got out of the Army, I wound up in Dallas in early 69, and a friend of mine said, hey, let's go over there. They're going to have a Ouija session. So we went and observed. And we all sat around and talked to this board, and it told us some different things. And one of the things I can remember it said was, Lyndon B. Johnson is not a good man. And we all went, oh, yeah, well, okay, what next? Then a little spirit came through that was a little boy, I think. And it was asking some people, it wanted someone to come and find his body at the bottom of a well in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado, where his stepfather and his mother had murdered him and dropped him into long ago. And so my friend and I left the session thinking, wow, that was really an interesting story, et cetera, et cetera. Then on goes the next 40-something years of my life, and I retire out of Texas into the mountains of Colorado in 2008. And within a couple of years, it came on the radio. Oh, and incidentally, the little boy wanted to get a Christian burial. And it comes on the radio. They had unearthed the remains of a small child in the bottom of a well somewhere in the mountains. It didn't say. And they didn't know who it was, but they had given it a Christian burial.
Wow. Wow. Very cool, Ron. Thank you for calling to share in your story with us. Let's go now to the first-time caller line, Richard, in North Glen, Colorado. Welcome to the show. What did you want to share?
Yeah, I thanks for letting me be on.
Certainly.
One thing. I just wanted to share that, you know, I am a Christian, and I do believe that, I definitely believe that there is a problem concerning, you know, with a Ouija board. I know that according to what I believe, it says our spirit, we have a soul and we live in a body as a human being. So we are a spirit, and so we Satan would like to communicate through his spirit through and I think that it is a very manipulative tool. I would call the Ouija board a tool that he could use. There's automatic handwriting. There's a lot of different a definition, stuff that could be used to let the spirits come through, but that is definitely against what I believe God would have people to be working with or or delving into. So that's just my own personal opinion.
Understandable. Thank you for calling in, Richard. I appreciate the insight on that. You know, and for people, I always want people to educate themselves. I think education takes away a lot of fear. And once you understand what you're dealing with, how things work, I watch people at investigations and at locations around the United States. And Bob, I know you've been there with me. People that will use, you know, dowsing rods, pendulums, Ouija boards, and different tools. And it seems that you mentioned a little bit earlier, sometimes people want to have an experience so bad. And I've watched people with a pendulum in their hands telling me how they're making communication, and it's obviously the spirits moving it, when I can physically see them moving their hand. And I honestly believe they don't believe they're moving their hand. But you and I, as outside witnesses, can see this going on. We can see their slight movements. You know, I think a lot of it has to be taken with a grain of salt, in the sense of sometimes we just want so much that our bodies make things happen for us. It doesn't mean, I think, we should dismiss all aspects of this, and that we should maybe, you know, take stock of what we're doing and our need and desire. Why are we so intent on making this communication? And maybe once we answer that question, we'll understand what it is we're communicating with, or how we might be communicating with it. I mean, where do you both weigh in on that?
Well, I think it doesn't always have to be one or the other. I think, you know, sometimes it is clearly your subconscious, you know, like some people are able to be hypnotized and other people aren't. So I think every time you use the board may not be the same thing that's happening. And yeah, I completely agree that we often don't realize, it's like driving home, right? You know, you've got a lot of things in your mind, you have a ton of things you have to do. You're driving home, you're not even thinking about it, and then you know, you pull into the driveway and you realize you've taken all your turns, you stopped at stoplights, you passed cars, you hit the brake, and you didn't crash, but you were not paying attention.
Right.
We know the brain has a way of taking care of ourselves. Kind of when we go into autopilot, you know, thinking about other things, it makes sure that we don't crash. And I think it definitely can be a similar thing when you use the Ouija board, that it is, you want it so bad that your brain makes your body do it unbeknownst to you, which is that ideomotor response. At the same time, you know, I was in Gettysburg. We were playing the Ouija board in the Tilly House, and we had some crazy experiences that the people I was playing with did not know me at all. And some of the things it was saying were personal to the people that were there. It was very interesting and eerie.
Darren, we've got about a minute left in this segment. Where do you weigh in on this? I mean, do you think that sometimes it's just a person manipulating these things and they don't even realize that they're doing it? Or do you believe that in most cases it is an outside influence?
I think whether it's internal or external, Dave, that it doesn't really change the paranormality of the Ouija experience. The Ignimotor effect does not rule out that it's not an actual spirit causing it. It could be that the spirit requires that biological interface or component or element and used in an unexplained phenomena that a spirit uses our subconscious minds in unison to transduce a message to us.
Yeah, that's a great insight. Now, I will tell you, I'm going to be doing an experiment at the St. Nicholas Hotel in Colorado in November with Bill Chappell from DigitalDowsing.com. He's created some very intriguing cameras that map out energy fields. And a lot of times these things will map out physical forms of other beings. We're actually going to run a few Ouija board experiments filming with these Kinex camera systems to see if, in fact, during a Ouija board session, do spirits map in. I'll keep in touch with George Norrie about that. And if we do get some interaction and reaction with that, and we're able to videotape it, I will include that information over to George so he can post it on Coast to Coast AM and see if we can actually go one way or another. Are we picking up any entity energy? Are we able to videotape or photograph this occurring as it actually happens? So keep checking out with Coast to Coast AM, and I'll get that information over to George Norrie. If you want to educate yourself more and you want to learn more about the spiritualist movement and about Ouija, there's two great things coming up. There's a spiritualist exhibit at the Mark Twain House. It starts on October 10th. And the free Ouija event that's by Winning Moves, held in Salem on October 22nd. Jeff Belanger and Bob Murch will be a part of that. website. You can get more information at Bob's website. We've got links to that up at Coast to Coast AM. Stay tuned. We've got more of your calls coming up on Coast to Coast AM right after this. Did you know that you can now listen to the best in paranormal talk radio and the best in overnight talk radio? Five nights a week, Monday through Friday, check out my show, Darkness Radio, as we explore the strange and supernatural, from ghosts to UFOs, psychic phenomena, monsters, myths, legends, and more. That's 9 p.m. till midnight Central. If you can't listen live, we also have archives on our website, so you can go check it out at darknessradio.com. Listen to the live stream through our iHeartRadio application, and then keep your dial right there, because as soon as Darkness Radio wraps up, George Norrie and Coast to Coast continues your journey into the strange. This evening, we're talking Ouija board. We're taking your calls, your stories, your encounters. That's next on Coast to Coast AM. Darren, I'm getting a lot of emails, a lot of comments on Facebook, Twitter, that are asking me the best way to dispose of a Ouija board. Some of the callers and writers, Jamie Sosito says, why do they say not to burn the Ouija board? What do you know about that? Is that urban legend? Is that a part of its history? We shouldn't burn it. Does it release the spirits into the world? Or why is that not one way to get rid of it?
Well, I think it just pisses them off, Dave. I've burned several boards. I've seen weird flames expel from board. I've heard screams. I think I've got a shaman friend of mine that actually owns a board that I had some bad experiences with. He's got it encapsulated in wax. I think, and I tell people, if you're really serious about getting rid of a Ouija board, I think the proper way to dispose of a board would be to cut it in four different pieces, to individually wrap those pieces in plastic and dispose of those separate pieces in separate waste containers. That way it won't come back and it won't be passed on to the next individual should there be a possession type thing going on. And so that's my two cents worth on that.
You talked about it screaming. I have an email from Russ. He says, I was told if I burn my board, it would scream. I put it on the stove, turned up the burners, and it did, in fact, scream, a very terrifying scream. I was 13-year-old at the time. I stay away from these boards, and that comes to us from Russ Register. Let's go to Wildcard Line 3, Dan in Brooksville, Florida. Welcome to Coast AM. What did you want to share with us?
My stepmother, back when she was a little girl, her sister was playing with a Ouija board. You know, just being, you know, teenagers. And they was curious, so they was playing with this. Nothing really happened there at that time. And their mom found out about it and took it away from them and got rid of it, the board. 50 years pass, and the stepmother, she's gotten religious and in the church and everything. And the church kind of leans a little bit towards Pentecostal, but it's non-denominational. And they get the Holy Spirit there and everything. And anyway, a demon is cast out of her, kind of like an exorcism there in the church. And the voice that was coming out of her body was not her voice. It was actually sounded more like a man's voice. And it was very, very deep and very, very loud. And all during her life, she was never able to get pregnant. And this demon told her, or spirit, said that every time that she had got pregnant in the past, that he killed every one of her children. That's why she never had a child. And I just thought I would share that because it was really kind of freaky to hear that coming out of her mouth.
Wow, definitely. Thank you for calling in, Dan. I appreciate that. And I do want to make a mention as well. You know, Bob, you were saying don't burn them, don't throw them under running water. I know that's part of the theory, too, is if you put them in a body of water that's running water, it's supposed to keep the spirits locked to the board or whatever. But if people want to get rid of these boards, they can contact you and reach out. Is it what's the email address or how do they find you so that they can get the boards in your hands if they don't want to deal with them anymore?
Absolutely. So if you want to email me directly, it's merch, M-U-R-C-H, at talkingboards.com. And I will absolutely make sure that the board gets taken away from you. You know, these are Ouija stitions or urban legends and stories that are passed down that If you burn the board, you'll feel like you're burning yourself. If you bury it, you'll feel like you're suffocating. I mean, there's kind of no need to go through that. I am happy to take these off your hands.
All right, let's go to wild card line four. Elaine in Fort Myers, Florida. You're on Coast to Coast AM. What would you like to share with us?
Hi, yes, good morning. What I would like to share is an experience I had with my sister back in 1969. I was only 19 years old then, and she was 15. And we had the Ouija board, and we were just, you know, messing around with it and whatever. And I asked the Ouija board when I was going to die. And the thing just started, the planchette started just like moving all around and everything. We were trying to write down what it, all the things that it said and everything. But in the end of the whole thing, it told me that I was going to die when I was 21 years old. So obviously I didn't, but my sister died 2 years later when I was 21 years old. She was only 17 years old, and she died in a car accident. And so I don't know what that means, because we didn't write down everything it said, but she died 2 years later when I was 21, and she was only 17. So
that is very eerie, Elaine. I'm sorry about the loss. Thank you for calling in and sharing your story with us this evening. Let's go east of the Rockies. Michelle in Omaha, Nebraska. You're on the air.
Good morning. I would just like to call and tell you about a story. I was about 12 or 14 years old, and I was in a room with four girlfriends, and there was a girl that was on the bed, and we were playing with a Ouija board. And something came out of the board, and all I can remember, it was like a green mist, and it went into the closet, and you could see the clothes moving. And then whatever it was went into the girl that was laying on the bed, and this girl levitated off the bed about a foot, foot and a half, and then fell to the side of the wall between the wall and the bed. And I ran out of the room, and I've never, ever played with a Ouija board since then. However, I'm very spiritual, and I dream about past loved ones, and I believe that I'm connected by dreams. But my question for you all is there a way to actually be involved with Ouija boards without it being negative? Or is that just like a portal to all bad things? Because I'm hearing tonight both sides of the stories, and I can take the call or the answer off the call. Thank you.
Well, thank you very much for calling in. We appreciate that. I think we kind of covered that earlier. It's a lot of to do with your intention. You know, Karen Dahlman has mentioned it. We talked about the two sisters who wrote the book using the Ouija board and got nothing but positive messages. There's plenty of people that have done that and had very positive affirmations and messages come through. I think, you know, like anything, if you pick up the phone line and just dial numbers at random, from time to time, you're going to get a jerk. You have the ability to hang that phone up and walk away from it. You don't have to keep on that abusive phone call. So I guess that would be the first way to avoid it. Darren, is there any other way you can think of to assure that you just stay away from the dark side, aside from just not using the Ouija board?
Well, that's kind of my message to people. That, I mean, if you're going into this with any type of confirmation bias, then the law of attraction says that, you know, that it's going to be drawn to that which is like. I mean, but again, I get a lot of cases where you know, a doctor that doesn't necessarily believe in any of this, something happens, they relay it to me. So it's a roll of the dice with what's going to happen, and we still don't really know, you know, how all this interacts. And so I just tell people to be very cautious and to err on the side of caution when you do play with this game.
All right, let's go to wild card line five, Austin in Los Angeles, California. This is Coast to Coast. What did you want to talk about?
How you doing? You know, the whole topic was really interesting. When I was 10 years old, I got a Ouija board. I had the kids at school talking about it. My mom got it for me. It wasn't a big deal. We got it at Toys R Us. And, you know, I had played it a bunch of times growing up, mostly with my friends. You know, we go in the dark, we try to play, and You know, sometimes it'd move and we weren't really quite sure how, you know, it might have been one of the kids. It wasn't until a month ago. I'm 24 now, and I just decided to get rid of it. You know, some of my friends are really religious, and they told me, like, yeah, you shouldn't have it in your house. It's bad luck, you know. And I hadn't really noticed much when I had it. You know, I slept with it under my bed for a long time. I didn't see anything too spooky. But when I got rid of it about a month ago, I started to experience some really weird stuff. I came downstairs. Some of the cabinet doors were open. I don't have cats. You know, no one else opened them. Started hearing things, started getting really, really eerie feelings. And, you know, I disposed of it. I just threw it in the garbage. And ever since I did, I noticed that things were getting really, really creepy. I wasn't really quite sure if it had anything to do with the Ouija board or perhaps I threw it out and pissed someone off. I'm not really quite sure.
I don't know. Is there any way to definitively answer that question? You know, I mean, Darren, you've dealt with this more than any of us on that situation. Is it just bad timing? Is it, you know, now that you've turned the light on, they know that you're looking and you're there, and maybe it's drawing the attention of other spirits?
I mean, that's a possibility. There really is no definitive. I mean, I could only speculate as to that. But, you know, these things happen that are unexplainable. They continue to happen. Everybody that has their, you know, everybody, it seems that everybody that messes with boards, or it seems like everybody has a story, a different story. And that's what's so fascinating about this phenomenon is that these things do happen in so many different ways. And so I really can't honestly speculate.
Yep. Again, that's one of those, we don't have those answers. We have no way of knowing which direction these things are coming from. If one begets the other, it's the chicken before the egg. Again, was this always going on, and you playing with the board bolstered it and then getting rid of it irritated them, so now they're trying to find other ways to communicate with you, or is it just something totally off on its own? Let's try west of the Rockies, Sean in Southern California. Welcome to the show.
Hi, how are you doing tonight? Thank you for
doing great. Yeah, thank you very much. What would you like to share?
Well, you know, I've actually been carrying around this story for more than two decades, and I first need to say that I mean no disrespect to the deceased or the sources that may have been at work, you know, predicting it or whatever. But about in 1992, in August of 1992, I was actually playing on the trampoline with my cousin. And we were having a good time, just a summer day. And then we were both laying there afterwards, tired. And he turned to me and he said, there's something crazy I have to tell you about. And he said, well, I got together with some friends of mine, three of my friends, and we played with a Ouija board a few weeks ago. And it predicted that two of the four would pass away in car accidents. And he said to me, he goes, yeah, and this girl that played with us just died in a car accident a few days ago. And I was just kind of dumbfounded, and we just kind of mused, and we didn't know what to think about it. And that was one of the last four conversations I had with him. He was gone within a few weeks of that. And I don't know, I've never had any experiences with the supernatural. I've always been searching. I've been listening to the show since R was on in the 90s. But that's the only experience I've ever had with the supernatural.
Well, thank you for calling in, Sean, and being a part of the show. Hopefully your communication was a little bit more clear on the Ouija board than it was on your cell phone. That was a horrible connection, but we appreciate you giving us a call. Here's a quick email from Bill. He says, when I was about 12, my friend and I played with the Ouija board. I asked it who I would marry, and it came up with a name, which we did find in the school yearbook. It turned out to be true. When we asked who my friend would marry, it would not answer. He ended up dying in his early 20s of a brain tumor. Bob, as somebody from the outside who's kind of on the skeptical range, when you hear stories like that and like the one we just heard, how do you wrap your mind around something like that, that, you know, the board tells you something and sure as heck it happens?
You know, so scientifically, there's the law of chance, right? So 50% sure. of the time, if you flip a coin, you're going to be right. And
right.
and again, we want this to be right. Like, I don't know. There's no one rooting against the Ouija board giving you the right answer. We really do want this
to give us an answer. If it was wrong all the time, you know, we wouldn't be talking about it. So I think we place a lot of importance on the times it's right, as opposed to if anyone's used it before, it spells out a lot of garbly gook. And of course, the one thing that it gets right or that we say, we really latch on to.
Right.
And, you know, we talk about, as opposed to, like I said, you know, if we did it statistically and, you know, 9 out of 10 things were wrong, but it got one thing right, we forget about all the things that it got wrong. And that's the beauty of this. You know, the Ouija board is a reflection of what we want. And that's why it can be so spooky, because sometimes it brings out the worst in us. It's like a mirror. And we see the worst in us, and sometimes we see the best.
Let's grab wildcard 2, Brett in Red Bluff, California. It's got to be quick. What did you want to share with us?
Yeah, good morning, Dave and Darren. Hey, I worked at a rescue mission for many years, and I've seen a lot of people that have gone through some pretty traumatic stuff in their life, and a lot of them have told me that they played with a Ouija board as a kid. You know, we got to realize here that we're playing with powers and principalities that we can't see. That Ouija board opens up a portal or a door just by touching it. It's not something we should play with. Definitely, we should burn it. We don't want somebody else to come in contact with that. It does do weird things when you burn it. Completely agree.
But, Brett, could we also look at the fact that all of these people maybe played Monopoly or the game Uno? Did that make it any more dangerous? And do we also know, was there alcoholism or mental illness in those families that are all connected as well that ended up having these kind of problems? It seems that we demonize cardboard and plastic a little too easy and look for that to be the anchor. I mean, do you think there's any possibility that it could be something besides just a Ouija board that caused these problems?
You know what? That's an absolutely great question. I have a prayer that I have done with many of these people, and I've seen them fall to the floor. I have seen them change their lives and be released of something that they never even knew they had. It's absolutely wild. There is something there.
All right. Well, I appreciate the call, Brett. Thank you very much. Let's try to squeeze in Caleb from Los Angeles, California. Caleb, got about a minute left. What did you want to share with us?
Thank you so much for having me on your show. First of all, I always call in, but I always, you know, get the weird message. But yeah, well, I have a similar story to someone that just called in saying that someone that they knew got in a car accident. I was in middle school, and my teacher had this club called Specter Seekers, and this is, you know, a middle school that's pretty known in Los Angeles. And we would always go there and during lunch, and he would, you know, play with this Ouija board, and he would have the students, you know, take turns, you know, using it if they wanted to. And there was some pretty weird experiences out of that. I remember that the Ouija board, they asked someone in the Ouija board one time if a family member would die of one of the kids, and his grandpa ended up dying a week later. And it was predicted through the Ouija board too. And all this also ended up actually influencing, I guess, the accident of my teacher. He ended up getting in a car accident, but he was okay. But his eye almost got taken out, or it almost got amputated. Because he thought, he was always saying too, he thought it was because it was the Ouija board, and I don't know what happened, but he disposed of it. And it was just a really weird story, because he actually does have like a scar on his head now, and, you know, it's pretty.
Sure.
You know.
Well, thank you, Caleb. We appreciate you sharing your story with us as well. You know, again, I think we've got to be careful. If you're going to play with the Ouija board, maybe the best thing isn't to ask when your death is coming or somebody around you. Focus on positive things and of the light, and maybe you won't get these horrific messages. That's it for my stint this evening. I'll be back with you guys on the October 25th. I hope you'll tune in and be a part of the show with me then. I want to thank Dan and Gina back in the home office, Lisa Lyon, George Norrie, of course, Tim Dennis here, engineering for me in Minnesota, and my guests for the evening, Bob Murch and Darren Evans. You can get links to them at the Coast to Coast AM website. Thank you all. Be safe. Love one another. And I'll be back again with you at the end of the month. This is the best in overnight talk radio. This is Coast to Coast AM.